Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, your host for this weekend's edition. Chad will be joining us in the back half of this first hour. Just a note for this weekend's show, we're going to be focusing on markets for the type of moves that matter to investors, and we're going to be largely avoiding what the Fed had to say and what other central banks had to say this week. We covered a lot of that during our daily editorials throughout the week, and quite frankly, look, it's a whole lot of noise. I realize central banks can dictate market moves, but I think there are some bigger picture aspects that we all need to pay attention to for these markets and kind of take the central banks out of the equation sometimes. To kick off the show, I am chatting with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Now, Mike, again, major themes. I think this should be more the consideration for investors. We can tie in central banks and their general trend to want to cut rates, but overall, what are some of the major themes that you're covering and that you're going to be focusing on at some upcoming Money Show conferences?
Sure. Well, you know, we've tried to kind of come up with a way to talk about the big picture, what the 2024 story with quotes around it is going to be. And we kind of cooked up the idea of the big money pivot, and because there's a lot of different ways this big money pivot is playing out, right? It's in the economy, it's in government policy, it's in business strategy and so on. I mean, if you look at what's happening this year, I mean, you mentioned the Fed. We're obviously pivoting from a Fed that's tightening to one that's either going to be sitting on its hands for a while or cutting before too long. But, you know, it's more than that. We're pivoting from a stronger dollar environment to a weaker dollar one. We're pivoting from a stock market dominated by the Magnificent Seven names to one featuring broader participation. You know, we're pivoting from an economic backdrop where investors were really, you know, heavily focused and worried about recession risk. You know, Bloomberg infamously had its 100% chance of a recession headline, to one where they're looking to kind of capitalize on a resumption of growth. You're even looking at, you know, in sectors that everybody's kind of identified as being the next boogeyman out there, things like commercial real estate and banking. We're kind of even pivoting to some bottom fishing in there. You know, it's sort of funny. I was just, before we got on the call, I was kind of looking at some different sector ETFs. And everybody talks about tech all the time. You look at the QQQs. Okay, great. You know, year to date, they're up, what, about 7.5% at last check. But it's kind of funny. If you said, you know, what's up more, tech or financials, you'd say tech, but there it is. If you look at the XLF, the, you know, year-to-date return is almost 10%, so it's beating the QQQs by a little bit, and you're seeing things like materials keep right up with technology. I mean, XLB and so on. So, I mean, and industrials are pretty solid as well. So it's an environment where you're not just having, on the stock market side, you're not just having this sort of Mag 7 market like we had a while back. You know, that's the story of a few quarters ago. The story of this year so far is people looking for opportunity elsewhere and finding it, you know, in terms of the stock market. I mean, heck, we're talking about the Nikkei in Japan hitting, you know, a new all-time high for the first time. You know, it finally took out the ridiculous bubble peak that it had in 1989. So, I mean, Japan, of all things, they just raised interest rates for the first time in 17 years, their central bank did. So, again, it's just an illustration of how the big story, this big pivot, is really playing out in a lot of areas. And so I think it's a market environment with a lot of opportunity. There's likely to be new leaders, whereas, you know, what used to be laggards become leaders, and what used to be leaders become laggards. It's definitely just a big shift, big pivot environment. And that's what I see, that's what we see, and that's what I think is going to continue to be the story for the rest of 2024.
So, Mike, as optimistic as that all sounds, I do hear from a number, even of our generalists that I really respect, that the market is due for a pullback. Just look at how quickly it has run, not just at the beginning of this year, but also at the tail end of last year after that October low. Do you still think we could see a general market pullback?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about timing, right? You know, if you're a shorter term, maybe even, you know, a trader with a time frame of a month or two, yeah, I think as we head into the end of the first quarter, beginning of second quarter, you're probably going to see some digestion of gains. I mean, you're already seeing that in parts of the tech sector that, you know, have continued to get good news, whether it's the NVIDIAs of the world and so on, and yet the stocks are mostly just marking time. And I think that's part of the, not just rotation, but also part of the fact that those old leaders just need to stop and catch their breath. So, I mean, if you're a short-term trader and you're saying, oh great, maybe I can make some downside profits, or at least, you know, find some new places to look, sure, I think that's what you're going to see. But again, the sign to me of a healthy market is that the market can withstand the old leaders just sort of losing steam, but new leaders taking their place. If, you know, you imagine a relay race where you pass the baton, the guy who runs first, you know, he goes to the sidelines and sits down and catches his breath. As long as the person who takes the baton from him keeps running, you know, you're in okay shape overall. So I think that's a good analogy, a good thing to think about when you look at this market as an investor.
I love that analogy. Let's go further with that analogy then. Where? What sectors is the baton being passed to, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, there was so much negativity, so much worry about things like commercial real estate, and rightfully so, impacting the banks. We had the bank failures back in early 2023, but I just had a great interview with Ed Yardeni at Yardeni Research as part of our podcast, and he basically said, look, there's tentative signs that even an obvious trouble spot for the economy and the markets is starting to right itself. And I agree. If you look at things like the Fed's own data on bank willingness to lend and credit losses and so on, the worst of that appears to have happened a quarter or two ago. If you look at the monthly delinquency rates in some of these commercial real estate related securities, they peaked 4 or 5 months ago. So, you know, it's tentative. It's not like that everything's fixed. It's not like all these empty office buildings are going to, you know, stop going down in value and no banks are going to fail and no buyers of these esoteric real estate securities are going to lose money. But in terms of it being sort of like, you know, we passed the peak loss period or the peak worry period, yeah, I think we are. And I think it's just going to be sort of a slow grind in the background. So if even that area of obvious stress kind of just, you know, moves to the sidelines, then that's one less thing to worry about. But again, I don't want to sound Pollyanna-ish, but I think sometimes, you know, you have to invest for reality, and sometimes reality is really grim, and sometimes it's the exact opposite. And I'm, you know, pretty bullish about things here.
What about those interest rate sensitive sectors? If we do have rates staying generally higher for longer, could those sectors continue to lag?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, in this kind of environment, is everybody going to be all bowled up about buying utilities? I mean, no, because they're, you know, it's sort of the be boring sector that I talked about a few years ago when that was working the best and the environment was the best for it. You know, now you just don't have the interest rates that are really behind you, and you don't have a lot of business, or, you know, you don't have a lot of need for extreme safety, which is why sectors like that do well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to see, in my opinion, much movement or much growth, you know, in a sector like utilities. Or in a sector like consumer staples, that's not going to be where you're going to find your performance. I think, you know, the market started shifting to a more offensive profile from a defensive profile a couple years ago, at the beginning of 2023, and that's, you know, part of the reason I shifted my stance. And I think that's likely going to be the case moving forward. You're going to see, again, the growth of your more offensive, economically sensitive, cyclical type stuff continuing to outperform. So, you know, that's where I think that the best opportunities are moving forward. So that's, you know, that's your transports, it's your industrials, it's your small caps, it's your financials. Again, the stuff that does well when recession fears fade and people start saying, hey, look, the growth's going to pick back up. The Fed didn't put us in a recession, so, you know, let's start buying.
Yeah, fair enough there, Mike. Look, we are seeing many different sectors, the ones that had lagged over the last couple of years, pick up the slack, that rotation trade where money is staying within the markets, and clearly more is still coming into the markets just in different sectors. It seems like it's a good environment. It's one thing I've been taking away from you and a lot of our other generalist commentators over this last more than a year now is that this market has been performing better. We can see the price moves on it, but now it's these other sectors also picking up the pace. Everyone, we're going to be right back, continuing to chat with Mike Larson. We'll get into some other sectors, including the commodities. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Michael Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Mike, we talked a lot about the positive aspect, positive sector moves that we're seeing in the broad averages. Let's move over to the commodities, because those as well have seen some nice moves higher. Copper, above $4. Oil, that's above $80 right now. Natural gas, that's in the dumps. But gold, that's above $2,100 right now. It's been a better commodities environment, along with this better environment for a lot of other sectors. What's your outlook for commodities broadly?
Yeah, again, look, I've loved gold for a long time. You and I have talked about that. I liked it 2-3 years ago. I like it even more now. I mean, you've got the technical breakout on top of the fundamentals that were aligning for quite some time. So still very bullish precious metals. As I mentioned, I mean, copper is another, obviously economically sensitive commodities, whether it's copper, whether it's oil. If people are starting to buy transports, if people are starting to buy materials, if people are starting to buy these commodities, if people are starting to think we did dodge a recession, there's kind of a narrative there, right? The market's telling you, if you're looking at all these different developments, that things are getting better for growth. So in that situation, yeah, I don't think that that's bad for precious metals. I think it's good for precious metals and base metals and commodities. So, again, I think it all fits into the narrative of, hey, we dodged recession. Hey, growth is probably going to get better here. Money is probably going to start getting easier. It's not going to go back to zero, but hey, it's not going to be, you wake up every day and the Fed's got a cudgel waiting to bludgeon you over the head with when it comes to interest rates, and therefore the dollar takes off. I think that part of the market is attractive as well.
What are some of gold's catalysts then? If the environment, economic environment is looking better, is gold's main catalyst then just that central banks aren't going to get a whole lot tougher, a whole lot tighter with monetary policy?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big part of it, that the monetary policy environment and the follow-on impact from that, a.k.a. a surging dollar that we had in 2022, those aren't going to be issues, so that moves out of the way. You're still looking for people that are looking for kind of an alternative to if money growth reaccelerates, you know, whatever you want to call it, this sort of currency debasement or, you know, government debt, things like that. Those are always going to be an issue where people are looking for ways to find a store of value. I think, you know, it's funny because I still see a lot of those debate kind of issues. Oh, Bitcoin or gold, you know, which one should I buy, which, you know, to protect myself from money printing and currency debasement and just government debt and all those other big picture issues. And I say, look, I use my emojis to signify what it was on Twitter, and that was, you know, next to Bitcoin, I put a rabbit, a hare. Next to gold, I put a tortoise. And I said, you know, I still think both win this race, but it's just they're both assets that are going to win. It's just Bitcoin is sort of a turbocharged version of it, and gold sort of the slower moving. But hey, you can make money in both, and you're going to have smaller drawdowns, less risk and volatility in gold than you are in crypto. So I think that those are all part of the same narrative, and that's, you know, that's why I still remain bullish on precious metals.
All right, let's talk Bitcoin then, because look, Bitcoin continues to be volatile, and it was recently over $70,000. Then it sharply pulled back. This is all coming on the back of more positive news just broadly out of the crypto space. What do you think are some of the key drivers for Bitcoin, and broadly when it comes to cryptos, is the outlook just that much better because of ETFs and just more people seeming to get on board?
I think ETFs and mainstream money flowing into that asset class, yeah, that's a big catalyst. But, you know, I think it wouldn't be – if you just all of a sudden launched a bunch of Bitcoin ETFs, but there wasn't an underlying story that people believed in and that, you know, was had the benefit of being true, you're looking for things, ways to protect your money from, again, sort of government debasement and all those things, you wouldn't see the fund flows that we have. But I think, yeah, you're looking at Bitcoin by opening up the doors to mainstream participation and doing it in the way where, you know, these ETF sponsors are acquiring or sourcing actual Bitcoin to back those ETFs and so on. Yeah, I mean, it's all part of that same bullish trend. Although, again, understand that, or listeners should understand that that's turbocharging the short term because all this money's pouring in. But longer term, I think you're going to see, you know, the initial euphoria wear off a little bit, but you're going to see the gradual fund flows come in as Bitcoin as an asset class is more institutionalized. So, you know, it'll become more stock-like or gold-like or over time and a little less turbocharged over time, I think, as you know, it becomes more of a mainstream instrument. So short-term turbocharge effect, long-term gradually supportive, in my opinion.
So, Mike, outside of just price moves, and I know price moves dictate a lot for any sector, even for any individual stock, what do you use chart-wise or just anecdotally to judge general interest in different sectors when we do have a generally better environment out there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's fun flows. I mean, that's something I think is easier to map and watch, especially because there's so much tracking of ETFs, and that's where a lot of money has gone into. It's easier to follow that. So I think fun flows, sentiment surveys. I mean, and frankly, being with Money Show and having access to the presentations and the articles and the videos and so on that our contributors do, I kind of like to keep my finger on the pulse of what they're saying because I know who's generally been right, and I know who's, you know, seems to be probably most in tune with the market, so I'll pay attention to what he or she has to say a little bit more than you know, some of the others I haven't followed for a while. And I think, you know, what I'm saying pretty much aligns with what most of our experts are. I would say there's quite a bit of enthusiasm for, you know, for things like AI and tech and that sort of niche there. You know, even after the big run, I think there's a lot of belief and understanding and expectation that this is a real technology, these are real companies, these aren't sort of the flybynight.coms that we had back in 99 that ultimately blew up on you. And as much as things are over enthusiastic, maybe in the short term, there is a real long term business use here, and you know that's leading to real revenue, real earnings, and so on. So, anyway, I think that's part of, you know, that's another part that I don't quite follow as closely, but certainly a lot of our people are talking about, you know, a lot of those people who are talking about it are not just Johnny Come Lately. They are people that have been talking about it for several quarters, a couple of years now, and have been right as rain.
So outside of AI and tech, which I think there's no denying the growth that has happened in tech over a longer term than AI, but boy, oh boy, has AI just exploded recently. What are some of the main growth sectors that people are talking about at Money Shows that have caught your attention?
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of speakers, a lot of narrative about, you know, the appreciation for and understanding for big oil, big energy, traditional energy being a big player and a value play here, despite all the hoopla you get in terms of alternatives and EVs and so on. And I think that's been a story a lot of people have been speaking about even when nobody wanted to think about big oil and was all about EVs. And now what do you see happening? You see EV demands tailing off, the technology, it's costing an arm and a leg to get your EV repaired. The battery tech has maybe been oversold and overhyped, and in reality, it's, you know, we're still going to be sort of in an internal combustion world for quite some time. So I think that that's actually, you know, if you're looking for like a kind of a value type play, I think a lot of people have stuck with energy, traditional energy, and just like we were talking about earlier, what's starting to perk up? What looks like it might be breaking out here? It's traditional energy. It's crude. So I think that's a sector that maybe hasn't run yet, but if you're looking for what might run next, there you go.
There you go. A potential other market opportunity out there. Boy, oh boy, there seem to be a lot of them right now. We are out of time for this segment on the radio, but everybody listening on the radio, I did continue to chat with Mike for a good another 5 to 10 minutes. We talked more some new school energy sectors as well as diversification within this bull market. If you want to hear that full interview, go to our website or podcast or YouTube channel. Click on that weekend show posting. You can hear that full interview in the first and second segment. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
USA News News update. Former President Trump taking his social media platform Truth Social public next week, and he stands to make a lot of money, USA's John Schaefer reports.
The social media company founded by former President Trump is set to become publicly traded through a merger. Shareholders of Digital World Acquisition Corporation granted approval on Friday for the merger with Trump Media and Technology Group, the owner of the Truth Social platform. Trump's ownership in the new company valued at around $3 billion. I'm John Schaefer.
Meanwhile, Trump facing a Monday deadline to come up with almost $500 million in order to appeal his civil fraud judgment. New York Attorney General Democrat Letitia James is preparing to seize some of Trump's Westchester County, New York properties, including one of Trump's golf courses. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on with the trend from those first two segments. We're going to be focusing on many different sectors within these markets and a lot of strength that we continue to see in these sectors. These two segments being recorded after the Fed meeting on Thursday. And boy, oh boy, we saw just a continuation to the upside in a lot of sectors. We're chatting right now with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago and editor of the Lion Share Pro website. Dana, I'm going to start off with the same question that I asked Mike in the first segment here. Is these U.S. markets continue to extend higher, but we keep on hearing about how a pullback is due. Are we going to get a pullback sometime soon in these markets, Dana?
Yeah, good question. And again, it depends what market you're talking about. You know, the broader market, the broader U.S. equity market has pretty much been going sideways since the beginning of the year, you know, for the most part, whether you look at the value line, the median stock, or the smaller cap averages, which basically has topped out the first of the year or just before the first of the year and more or less gone sideways since. So that's, you know, the better part of 3 months of moving sideways. So I would say that's, in a way, in essence, some sort of a pullback or at least a consolidation or reset that stores up potential fuel for the next extension of the rally. If you're talking about, you know, tech stocks, AI, semiconductors, mega caps, that type of thing. Yeah, those are extended still. We haven't seen any type of material pullback in those stocks. So a little bit of a breather there, like we've seen in the broader market, would not be surprising nor unhealthy. But at the same time, just because markets continue higher doesn't mean we necessarily need a correction or a pause. You know, it's best, you know, ride the trend. It doesn't mean when you're considering investment selection, doesn't mean you have to chase those things that are up on a rope. You can find other newer relative strength names that are plentiful within the market that aren't as extended, that might participate to a greater fashion in the next part of the upleg.
Well, Dana, let's pull on that string for a second, because to your point, if you look at just the broad market indexes, the weighted indexes, they're telling a different story than the equal weight indexes are, or the small caps or the mid caps. So instead of chasing the high flyers, obviously, you know, you don't want to be shorting them because they're still moving higher. There could be a lot more opportunity in the wider market breadth. So are there any sectors within, you know, the broader markets that have your attention as maybe a better setup that haven't run as much yet?
Yeah, sure. Like we talked about last time, we were buying biotech in the pullback over the last week or so, because biotech, healthcare in general, had more recently broken out, hadn't run as much, just pulled back towards the breakout point. So that's one example in a sector. Looking at the broad market in general, you look at something like the equal weight S&P, which is, I guess, over the last couple of weeks, been kind of consolidating at those former highs that they set back at the beginning of 2022. So basically, yeah, they've had a nice run in the last month or two, but basically have gone sideways over the last couple of years. So I think there's significant more upside potential in something like the equal weight, or something like the mid-cap average, which is doing the same, pretty much paused at former highs before trying to break out. And then a couple of pure value plays that we've talked about over the last couple months that are pretty indicative historically of risk on versus risk off. So if they're running higher, it's a good sign of risk on. And you have something like the mid-cap pure value, RFV would be a ticker symbol, or the small cap pure value, RZV, broader value plays that have pretty much gone sideways over the last 3-4 years or so, and have just started to move to the upside. So we had, you know, a nice move in those areas in the fourth quarter, ran up, either broke out or ran up right to former highs that have also moved sideways over the last 3 months. Those look poised to potentially break out and extend their run higher. So if we do get signs from those, or evidence from those areas of a breakout, new upleg higher, that would be certainly a sign to us of continued risk on in the market, which and potentially an acceleration of risk on, at least in the near term. So those are a couple areas that are not extended that you could, even if you're, you know, pulling your horns in a little bit in some of those tech areas, roll some money into these areas that so you're not moving money out of the market, but you're not necessarily in those high flyers that are more, you know, at risk of some sort of a pullback.
Very interesting. Yeah, look at those mid caps and even the small caps. They are starting to break out after what you just outlined, kind of a consolidation period. That looks like there's potential there. Are there any sectors that you're flat out avoiding, not because they've run too much to the upside, but because they've underperformed so much and they just haven't broke out? They're not even threatening to break out?
Yeah, I mean, even as we said, talked about the last couple shows, that, you know, there's the array of what we call relative strength, or names that are performing well. There's certainly plentiful names out there, and one sign of, or another piece of evidence that gives us confidence in the sustainability right now of this rally, just the breadth of areas that are performing. At the same time, it doesn't mean everything's performing. So some of those defensive names, sectors, utilities, for example, haven't done much. Maybe it's time for some rotation in there. I don't know. Real estate, some of the real estate names, consumer staples has shown some signs of life, hasn't been great. But again, if we are going to have further, you know, extensions to the rally, we should probably see money eventually rotate into those names. But until that happens, we're satisfied to keep our money elsewhere as long as those areas that we do have our money in continue to perform. That's where we'd like our money. Once we see evidence of kind of a shift in relative strength, then we're happy to shift.
All right, Dana, let's shift into a couple commodities then, starting off with gold. You know how we like to talk about gold, and, well, that's also been on a run on a daily, weekly, and even monthly basis, very close to some overbought levels. Gold just touched 2,200 midweek. I know you've been riding that gold train. How much longer, how much higher could gold go?
Yeah, well, considering it just broke out, I mean, it could be substantially higher. This is, it looks like the breakout that we've been waiting for. Again, gold's pretty much gone nowhere for the last 3 or 4 years. So again, storing up some potential fuel, some potential buying demand once we do see the breakout, which we've seen. So just looking at GLD trading around 200, I would say, we definitely see up above, 220 next and, eventually 240, I would say, would be reasonable targets if this breakout is legit, which, again, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be. Obviously, in modern times, you have more of a chance of seeing false breakouts, false breakdowns in the short term, because I think hot money chases after it, and the Johnny-come-latelys tend to get burned by the pros. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, some kind of a pullback, maybe. But if we do pull back towards that breakout area around that 190 level on GLD, it certainly would be adding to our position there.
All right, Dana, we're going to have to take a break for the radio stations to play some commercials. But when we come back, we're going to get further into the precious metals, some of the gold equities, as well as other commodities, and, again, some further sectors that you see as having potential to continue to run. It seems to be the big theme of this show, and a lot of the theme over the last at least week, if not year or so, where there are opportunities in these markets. You just need to be on top of where that money's rotating and take advantage of it rather than fighting these market moves. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back continuing to chat with Dana Lyons.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Continuing to chat with fund manager Dana Lyons. Dana, we ended last segment talking about gold. Let's filter down into the gold equities, mostly focused on GDX, as well as silver. Please, what are your outlooks for the gold equities? If those will play catch-up to gold and silver, if that will finally break out of the trading range that it has been in for 3 years now.
Right. So as you know, we've been holding smaller positions in the miners, expecting breakout in gold and expecting that to pull up those miners and those equity positions eventually. And looks like that has started. So happy to see that. This certainly is a lot of, after several years of rough trading, there's plenty of chart resistance to get through at this point in most of those miners positions and ETFs. But we're starting to chip away at that. And if miners of the equities do decide to start catching up to, you know, the metals, we could see really an acceleration of that move to the upside. And I would say probably the moves would happen pretty quickly. So that's one reason that we've kept the position mentioned in the past is more of, we viewed it more as like an option position. You know, we think we're pretty confident it's going to eventually move. Just don't know when, and when it does happen, we want to be there to catch it. So that's where we're at. Another one that is interesting to us is the copper miners, which has really moved nicely over the last week or so, moving up towards, you know, 52-week highs and leading the way among the miners group. So I'm sure fundamentalists are going to look for some reasons behind that. Maybe your viewers have some theories behind that. Honestly, we don't really care as much as we want to capture what is happening, even if we don't know why. But the move in copper miners has been certainly encouraging, and to some extent, copper itself.
Man, look at that COPEX chart. Look at that volume spike. We haven't seen volume like this, well, in the chart that I have going back over 10 years. Do you care at all when you see a volume spike as great as we have seen in the copper miners ETF COPEX?
Yeah, again, like I mentioned, we don't look at volume a ton. Typically, volume's pretty predictable. You see lower volume on up moves, and then you see the highest volume in down moves, especially at lows. So the argument that, okay, that these up moves are not coming on much volume, doesn't really carry much weight to us because it's usually during those panicky, fear type environments that you see an uptick in volume, whether it's a particular security or across the board in the broader market. So to your point, when we do see an uptick in volume, on an up move, especially coming off of, kind of doldrums down here after we've traded sideways for a while, when you do see a spike up in volume on those types of moves, it does, I think it does mean a little bit more to us, gives us a little bit more confidence that, okay, maybe this move is durable as opposed to, okay, if it comes after a long up move, then it's more likely a sign of maybe the ending of the type of move. But right at the beginning, definitely I would rather see big volume there than not a lot of money moving into it.
Yeah, Dana, nice to see some of those moves in the copper miners on the bigger volume, and I think some of it has to do with copper piercing above $4 again, getting investors excited about it. Let's talk about a sector in the commodities that's not been as exciting, but it has had a recent move higher, and that is the energy space, oil and nat gas, in particular oil. Oil's back above 80 now. Do you think that has some legs to run to the upside, or is that just a momentary blip higher?
Yeah, oil to us can kind of been range bound. Hard to get too excited. There have been a number of assets that I would categorize there, including a lot of the currencies. But oil's been kind of more or less range bound. Hard to get too excited about it either way. But definitely showing some signs of strength of late. As far as some of the energy equities, a little bit more excited about those. They've had a rough, really underperformed since the equities in general bottom last October. I think part of that is because they outperformed during that third quarter pullback in equities. So a little bit of a rotational effect there. They are certainly showing signs of life. We've got some, seen some areas in the oil space and the energy space moving back to new highs already. So that's good to see. And if there are legs to this oil move, which is appears to be just starting, certainly there should be plenty more legs in the energy equities as well. So we're maintaining a little bit of a position there. Like to see, we've got a small cap energy ETF. We'd like to start leading to the upside as well.
Yeah, the small caps seem to have lagged broadly for a lot of commodity sectors, but you look at XLE, the larger energy stocks, that's breaking out. What about natural gas, though? Because, boy, oh boy, we have a lot of people consistently trying to pick the bottom in natural gas, saying it can't get much worse than it just was down at about $1.50, but it hasn't really rebounded all that much, and the equities haven't done anything. So any life in the natural gas sector, the natural gas equities?
There's a penny stock that I look at. We don't trade much in the way of individual stocks for our clients, so I couldn't tell you all the names in that sector. This one that I've been looking at has been certainly running for the last 6 months or so. So maybe that's a sign of life, potential life in natural gas itself. I don't know, but I do know they don't call natural gas the widowmaker for no reason. It's been a difficult asset to trade for many people, and I would put ourselves in that category. So unless there's something extremely compelling to us, I typically shy away from that. But right now, I don't see anything particularly compelling. Maybe from a contrarian standpoint, that's a bullish sign, but right now, I don't see anything.
So, Dan, I guess big picture, stepping back, it sounds like you're, A, continuing to see a lot of opportunities out there, some sectors that have lagged the Magnificent Seven or the high-flying tech stocks, they're starting to break out. Are you right now more diversified than you have been over the last year or two because of all these different opportunities you're seeing out there?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got probably more positions than we've had on. And like you mentioned, a couple of years, I guess back in 2021, we saw a nice broad advance. But outside of that, we haven't seen this much, many examples of what, again, we would call relative strength in a while, certainly since that move about 3 years ago. So, and again, that's probably, if you ask me what's the best sign of, you know, a sustainable or a high confidence rally in the equity market, I would say it's the breadth of the rally, you know, the broad base, on how broad base the rally is, how much participation there is. And we're still seeing a broad participation in the rally. Like you mentioned, there are no shortage of market segments across the board that are participating in the rally, and that, again, that gives a stronger foundation to the rally, suggests it is more apt to continue. Once you see some of those relative strength names starting to fall off or fall by the wayside, then you start to get a little bit concerned about the durability of the rally. But right now, I would say you still see enough participation, or broad participation, to give us confidence to maintain a substantially long portfolio. Again, you look at just the one data point within that space would be the advanced decline line, which continues after breaking out to a new high a couple weeks ago, continues to move to new highs. So that is just one, if you're going to look at one indicator, that's one good one to look at in terms of confirming the breadth or confirming perhaps the sustainability of this intermediate term rally.
All right, Dana, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts right now. And it has been for a little while a good environment to be invested in a wide range of sectors. Who knows how long this will continue, but it sounds like from what you're seeing, there could be some further legs to this rally. We'll definitely follow up with you in another couple weeks. But hey, in the meantime, keep up the great work. I love reading over the Lion Share Pro website, all the content you send out. And for everyone who wants more information on that, you just have to click that posting, click that link within the Weekend Show posting. Dana, thank you for your time on this Weekend Show. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Show. Please remember to go back through our website, kereport.com, and podcast and YouTube page under The KE Report to keep up to date with all our daily editorials. Everyone, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.